You're a VIP.
That's you. Welcome back to Kid Mentor. This is Carl Bastian from Kidology. You're a VIP. That's right.
A VIP.
Hey, welcome to the 110th episode of Kidmen Talk. Hey, if you've been watching or following this podcast for a while, you know I've been at this for quite a while. I started back in 2011. Let's see. That's a while ago. With the Children's Ministry Podcast, co-hosted with Gus.
That's right, Pastor Carl.
We did 14 episodes, then we launched Kidmen Talk, and have done 109 episodes of Kidmen Talk, and it's time to completely relaunch it again. I've put together a fun studio here in the Kidology HQ, aka my basement, because I want to try something new and I want to do some fun things. So with this 110th episode, we're going to totally relaunch it. If you're listening via iTunes, I have to warn you, I am no longer going to be pushing this out through iTunes. I might once in a while, just for fun, to find folks who are out there because of they're searching iTunes for things. But Apple only archives 100 episodes, so they are already dropping off the older episodes, and that kind of stinks. I also don't get any stats or any feedback or any reports from iTunes about how many people are watching. I only get, kind of anecdotal stuff from people who come up to me at conferences and say, "Hey, Carl, I love the podcast. I enjoy it so much. And by the way, I love that feedback." Every now and then I'll have people say, "Hey, I don't want to bother you, Carl. You probably get a zillion emails." And I do get a lot of email, but I don't get a lot of those encouragement emails. So never hesitate to drop me an email or a tweet or a Facebook post or whatever, letting me know if the podcast is helpful to you. But we're going to do a new video format. It's going to be located still at kidmentalk.com, or you can go to kidology.org/kidmentalk or /podcast. We're going to redirect that. We're going to have a Kidmen Talk zone right on Kidology where we're going to host it. The videos are hosted by our Vimeo account, so we can have all that statistics and analytics and all that good stuff that's helpful to us. Plus, unlike YouTube, where I can't control the related videos and all that other stuff, and some of the other disadvantages of YouTube, we're gonna have a lot more control with the Vimeo, and so I'm excited about that. But enough of the technical stuff. I also want to do some really fun things. And I'll get into that. But the goal is the same. It's to equip and encourage you in your children's ministry. And as always, you can shape the show, right? On Facebook, you can let me know what you'd like me to talk about. You can email me, carl@kidmentalk.com. That goes directly to me. If you contact us through the support area, I have some wonderful support team, and they kind of filter those, because often the questions that come through, like, "What's my password?" I've got folks that can help you with those things a lot quicker than I can as a full-time children's pastor. But when you send me feedback or questions at carl@kidmentalk.com, that comes right to me. Now, if you send me a support question, I may just forward that to support. Actually, they're better at those questions than I am. But I want you to send me questions that I can address on the show. Today, we're going to be talking about a question that came in from Gerald on how do you teach kids about grace. And I'm going to give you an awesome game / object lesson that you can do. I also want to give you I want to do a fun thing. Kidology started way back in the beginning, back in 1994. Yeah, some of you, I know, you were born that year. But it started as a website where you could try to stump the kidologist. People would send me an object, okay, not a physical object, but they would email me an object, and I would write them an object lesson. And it grew so much that I actually had people starting to complain, saying, "I stumped you. You never wrote an object lesson." I was like, "Hey, I started getting tons of stump attempts, but I already got one, and it is a zarf." Now, you may not even know what a zarf is. I didn't either, but I Googled it, and I am going to be accomplishing that stump on the show today, all right? Hey, now that intro music, that VIP, that was from Rob Biaggi. If you've been listening for years, you have heard the bumper music on the show has been Rob Biaggi music. Rob is a classic of children's ministry. He has been at kids worship since 1999. That's all he's done. He's traveled all over the place. He started out as a kids worship leader at a mega church in California. Now he travels all over the country. You can check him out at thatrobguy.com. You can also just go to kidology.org/Rob Biaggi. If you can't spell his last name, just go to kidology.org/thatrobguy and you can check out all of his music. One of the things I'm going to do on the show is I'm going to feature some kids worship music, one song in particular, every show. So I'm going to just start every show with a one fun song from a great kids worship leader. If you do kids worship music, go ahead, send me some of your music and I might just feature one of your songs. Today's show is sponsored by KidCheck. KidCheck is the easiest, most innovative, constantly improving kids check-in system. In fact, it is so amazing. With KidCheck, your parents can actually check in their kids on their smart devices in the parking lot, in the car, as they're walking into church, so that when they get to the check-in area, their check-in tags just start coming out of a printer so that your check-in system can be even faster and even easier. I have interviewed Alex, the founder of KidCheck, in a past Kidman Talk interview, and I'll link that in the notes below this podcast today. Check them out. If you are a Kidology All Access member, you get a discount on KidCheck for your whole first year. Just go to kidology.org/KidCheck and learn all about this amazing check-in system that is amazing. When I say innovative, I'm not just tossing that word about. Since we have first started partnering with KidCheck and spreading the word, they are constantly adding new features, responding to customers, improving it, and making it better and better and better. And so as we head into the fall, you should be making sure you have the best, most secure check-in system possible. And even if you use another system, you may be able to integrate with KidCheck. Be sure you check with them about that and learn all you can about it. It's pretty awesome. Well, today I've got a couple of fun things planned for you. I want to do, instead of just one topic on the show, as I have done in the past, I want to introduce a couple of different elements, all right? I want to do the stump attempt. We got the Zarf coming. I want to answer a question like we have from Gerald today on teaching grace. I want to do a keeping current thing. We're going to talk about Fortnite, all right? That is something you need to know about. And then I'm going to do something called dusting it off, and I'm going to tell you what that is when we get there. But I'm also going to give away some free stuff. Who likes free stuff? Let me hear you. Let me hear you. Free stuff. Every podcast, every show, I'm going to give away some free stuff. I'm going to log into the computer, and I'm going to give something free away to our newest member to Kidology, and just because, you know, I have some things that I subscribe to, and I'm always feeling a little gypped because they're always giving stuff away to the new people. And I'm like, hey, what about me? I've been loyal. I've been a subscriber for years. I'm like a charter member, right? And so I'm also going to look at a most recent renewal, and I'm going to give something free for that. Let's hear it for the loyal people, the people who renew, and I'm going to give away some freebies to them as well at the end of the show. And hopefully they're watching, but even if they're not, that's okay. I'm not going to do that. You got to be watching to win business, because that's punitive too, right? I think you should be watching, but let's just dive right in. The first thing we're going to do is our stump attempt. All right, what is a Zarf? Well, you might not know what a Zarf is, but it has to do with coffee. Now, I know a lot of you drink coffee. I am not a coffee drinker, all right? In fact, Starbucks and all these coffee shops, you know, are not somewhere that I regular. I know I'm strange about that. You know, I'm more of a soda guy, you know, and that's where I get my caffeine from. But that makes me strange because, I mean, even the coffee shops, the churches today have coffee shops. You know, they have ones that are called, you know, Higher Grounds or Holy Ground or Jehovah Java. You know, they've got all these crazy names, you know. But you know, the coffee is the thing, you know. And I know that it's very important. A lot of children's pastors, their favorite verse is, what is it, Hebrews 6:12, so that you may not be sluggish. That's their biblical application to why they've got to have their coffee in the morning. How many volunteers are, you know, late to the classroom, but they make it to the coffee shop, the Hebrews coffee shop, you know, to get their coffee before they show up in the classroom, right? In fact, I think I caught one of our volunteers teaching the little children that Jesus loves you a latte. Okay. But I didn't know what a zarf was, but a zarf is this handy little contraption that goes on your coffee cup, because the coffee cup can get hot. And so you get this little cardboard deal, you put it on there. And just to experience the day, I went to the coffee shop. And I didn't get coffee because I just can't do that, all right? And so I got me a chai tea latte. In fact, I got the pumpkin spice. It was really good. So I got me a pumpkin spice chai tea latte, and it was hot. And so I had to put this little zarf on there. And so as I was sipping that, and I don't have it here now because I did it earlier, but I wondered, you know, what can I learn from a zarf? Now, the definition of a zarf, if you actually, you know, look it up, it's supposed to be a metallic thing. You know, it's supposed to be this thing. What is the definition? It's a holder, usually of ornamental metal, for coffee without a handle. We've gotten to where everything in America is disposable. All right, our cameras are disposable. Everything's disposable, right? So even our zarfs are disposable. But it protects us, all right? Now, I thought maybe I should go to Psalm 116:13. It says, you know, I will lift up the cup of salvation. You know, I thought we could go to Psalm 23, you know, my cup overflows, but that wouldn't work because then my hand would be burned. So I decided not to go there. But I was thinking, you know, this zarf is optional. You know, if I have a hot drink, and the zarfs are there, and I ignore the zarfs, even though they're free and even though they're on display, I could burn my hand, and a burn can have consequences. But what I have to do is I have to acknowledge that it's there. I have to accept it. I have to choose to use it, and I have to put it on there. It's got to be applied. And you know, there are things in life that can hurt us and that could harm us, and God offers to help us. His help is free and His help is available, but it must be taken. It must be chosen. It must be accepted, and it must be applied. God is a gentleman. He doesn't carjack us. He doesn't force his way upon us. You know, Psalm 91:14 says this, and I wrote it out here. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. But you see, there's a choice there. Because he loves me, I will rescue him from being burned, right? I will protect him. Why? Because he acknowledges my name. See, God wants to protect us. He wants to rescue us from consequences, but there's a condition on us, all right? There's a choice to love him. There's a choice to acknowledge him. There's a choice to choose him. You know, in Psalm 25:21, David writes, "May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you." You see, when we trust God, when we obey God, when we do what he says, he protects us. When we decide we don't need to do that, there can be consequences. So to summarize the object lesson, the question is simply, to zarf or not to zarf? That is the question. There, Matt, your object lesson challenge has been met, and you did not stump the kidologist. All right, moving right ahead. Next, we have our Q&A. Gerald sent me a message on Facebook, and he asked, "Carl, how do you teach grace to third and fourth graders?" You know, I love teaching on grace, Grace and mercy often get confused, all right? Now, the theological difference is profound, but confusing, all right? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Now, that sounds very simple. Grace is a gift. You can remember that because they both start with the letter G. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Sorry, they don't start with the same letter. So how do you get kids to understand that? I have heard pastors preach on mercy while calling it grace, or preach on grace while calling it mercy. Sometimes even adults have a hard time understanding the difference between mercy and grace, and they'll use them interchangeably even though they're different. Even as a parent, there are times that we give grace and show mercy, and they're very different. You know, if your child misbehaves and you decide to give them a discipline and later you decide not to, you could show mercy by not giving them the punishment that you tell them that they deserve. But then you can show grace by actually letting them do something that before you said that they couldn't. Like maybe go on that play date or go on that activity, and so that you're giving them something that they don't deserve, right? That is a difference. Well, how do you illustrate that to kids? Well, here's my favorite way, and it's so much fun. So you play a game. The game doesn't matter. It needs to be relatively challenging, but not too difficult. And I'm not going to give you a game because any game truly matters. What matters is that you pick a boy and a girl, and you pick a really big, athletic, strong boy that you know is going to win, and you pick the sweetest, cutest little girl who's a good sport that you know is not going to cry, probably one that knows you well and knows you do object lessons and will play along, but that you know is going to lose the game. Now, before you do the game, you invite them up, and you explain that you're going to play a game. And as you're explaining the game, you hold in your hand a little chocolate and a squirt gun. And you explain that the winner of the game is going to win some chocolate and the loser is going to get squirted. Now, it's very important that you don't say squirted with this gun or win this chocolate. That's an assumption, and the assumption's very important. But you just say the loser's going to get squirted and the winner's going to get some chocolate. And you make sure they agree to that. You make them repeat back. Are you sure you understand the consequences and the prize? And they'll both say yes. And so you play the game. And during the course of the game, you set down the chocolate and the squirt gun. Well, the boy wins the game and the girl loses, right? So the little girl's ready to get squirted. You have her face the audience and she's ready to take her consequence. And that's when you pull out your giant super soaker. And you proceed to pump it up and get ready to squirt the little girl. This is why it's important that she's not gonna cry, that she knows that you love her and she trusts you. The audience goes nuts. The boys are cheering. The girls are like, no, don't do it, don't do it. And you act like you're gonna do it. And if she's a good sport, she'll be bracing herself. And then you say, wait, you guys, there seems to be some control here. And you turn to the little girl, wait, you did agree to get squirted if you lost, right? And she's like, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you think you were going to be squirted with this? Oh, I'm sorry. I was just holding this. It's not my fault that you underestimated the consequences and assumed I meant that. I never said with this gun. I just said you would be squirted. Do you understand that? And the audience is still going to go crazy and they're going to want, you know, to get it. Oh, and by the way, go ahead and give the chocolate to the boy and let him go have a seat because you're done with him. He's won his prize. And so you're all ready to squirt, and then you ask, how many of you guys think I should squirt her? And of course, the boys all say yes, and the girls are all saying no. And you say, how many of you think I should show mercy? See, this is what mercy is. She deserves to be squirted. She clearly agreed to it. She lost the game. She deserves to be squirted. And then you very nicely announce that you have decided to show mercy. You see, mercy is not getting what you deserve. And you know, we all deserve to not go to heaven. I don't use the phrase go to hell a lot with children because while it's biblical, it's a little bit of fire and brimstone. I kind of prefer to focus on heaven by saying we deserve to be separated from God. We deserve to not get to go to heaven. We deserve to not have our sins forgiven. But you know what? God has chosen to show mercy to us, even though we deserve it. Sometimes we underestimate the consequences of our sin, but God chose to show us mercy. But he did even more. Not only am I going to show mercy to this little girl. And of course, you would use her name. But God did something even better. You know what he did? He decided to show grace. And you know what? I just bought, you know, a regular chocolate bar. You can buy like a big chocolate bar. It's just that if I bought that, I'd have to eat it and that wouldn't be good. But you know what? I'm going to give this to you. You don't deserve this because you lost the game. But you give the little girl the big chocolate bar. Now the boy gets upset because he won the game and all he got was a little piece of chocolate. But you know what? There's a whole parable about that, about the guys in the vineyard that worked all different times a day and all got paid the same. And Jesus says, what is it to you? I am God. I can give whatever I want. And you can say to the boy, you got what you agreed to. So what is your complaint? What is it to you if I decide, because I love this little girl, that I want to bless her and give her a big candy bar? If I were truly fair, I would squirt her and give you the little candy. But you know what? I am so loving. I am going to give her this giant candy bar because I have showed her mercy by not squirting her. And I have showed her grace by giving her what she didn't deserve. Now, I've had a few people over the years email me and say they buy two and they go ahead and give the boy the candy bar too. You can do that if you're a wimp and you want to, you know, be nice to the boy too. But I think it's actually more powerful for him to go home feeling that little bit of unfairness, because then he really gets what grace is. Because grace is that she got what she didn't deserve, and that's just how great God is. But hey, you can disagree with me and you can give them all candy bars, and I'm okay with that. But that is a great way to illustrate to kids what grace is and how it's a different than mercy. Again, mercy is not getting what you do deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. But now I want to talk about keeping current with kids. Really quickly, if you do not know what Fortnite is, you need to be aware. This came out last year, and it has taken the gaming by storm, the gaming world. It is a free game. In fact, this year it came out in an app form, and many of your kids are playing it. Now, some aren't because their parents aren't going to let them because it's a first-person shooter. It's described as cartoon violence, so there's not a lot of blood, but there is sniping, and it's got building. It basically starts out, if you've seen pictures of the bus flying over an island, and up to 100 players play at once from all over the world. They all fall out of this bus and parachute down onto this island. And there's one winner. And the last person left wins the entire game. And as they're going around gathering supplies and finding ammo and finding guns and finding badges and finding shields, there's like a storm, and so the play area is progressively getting smaller and smaller. And if you're caught in the storm, you know, then you your life gets used up, or your shields, and you die. Or if another player eliminates you, which is a nice way to say kills you, and it shrinks down. And I decided, after looking into it a little reluctantly, let my son play it. I play it, and I kind of torment him because I say, well, I'm a pastor. I don't want to shoot anybody. And so I see how long I can survive not shooting anybody, building stuff. And I tell him I could technically win if I hit enough and stuck around enough and eventually got down to where there were three people. And if they shot each other, I'd be the winner. It hasn't worked. I have gotten down to 13 people, but my passivism has not resulted in a Royale victory yet. That's still my goal. But it is something you need to be aware of. Whether you allow your kids to play in it, play the game or not, of course, is an individual parent decision. But your kids are playing it, and you need to be aware of it. I would not go as far as doing a church theme with this. I know some have done that. I think there's a difference between being aware of something in the culture and endorsing it. When you do a kids church theme, you are now endorsing it. You are saying it's okay. You're saying that you are in favor of it. And you can put yourself in conflict with parents who are not letting their kids play it. And you're putting yourself in your parents in an awkward situation when the kids go home and say, well, my church leader says it's okay. And now you're not really partnering with parents because you're now working against the parents and their decisions that they're making in their home. And that's not a place that I think is good to be. But it is important to know the world of kids and be able to make reference to it. You know, there's these different dances. You know, it's a free game. They make their money off the players buying these V-Bucks. I have no idea what the V stands for. Let me know if you do. Probably the Victory Royale. And they buy these dances. And they do all these cool dances. And when they win, and or when they're going to team up or communicate, hey, let's be friends in the game and work together. And kids are learning, you know, all these really cool little dance moves. And that they buy that, and they buy the axes, and they buy parachutes, and they buy armor and outfits, and that can quickly add up. Believe me, I know, because my son will miraculously do chores if I will give him some V-Bucks. And but it's something that it's good to be aware of. Just as Netflix kind of changed the delivery system for movies in the Keeping Current with Kids in the current Children's Ministry magazine, that's what they kind of said, that this is being viewed as potentially changing the way games are going to be delivered and the financial model, and it's something to watch. By the way, in your Children's Ministry magazine, there's always a great section on Keeping Current with Kids. Kids Matter magazine has the same similar section. Actually, Kidology provides that section. I'd show you, but I haven't gotten my latest Kids Matter magazines in the mail yet. But it's something to be aware of. Talk to kids about it. And again, learning it is not endorsing it. What it does is it shows that you're aware of the culture of kids. You can't just condemn something without knowing about it. If you don't like shooting, if you don't like violence, you need to be able to know about it to where you can dialogue it. And then you earn the right to say, you know, here's what I think's fun about it. Here's what I think's cool, but here's what concerns me. How do you think God feels about this? And open up those conversations in small group time, in a one-on-one conversations, and that will work really well for you. Well, here's what I want to do. I want to end with a segment that I'm calling Dust It Off, all right? I have every Kids Ministry magazine book resource going back for decades. Those have gotten to come visit my home and the basement, the Kidology HQ, their eyeballs pop out because I've got every CD, VHS tape, and magazine going back for years. And you know what? While we want to keep cutting edge and look at new resources, there's a lot of timeless truth. And so I'm going to randomly grab an old magazine or an old book, and I'm going to share some timeless truth out of that at the close of every podcast. So I grabbed Children's Ministry Magazine, July, August 2001, just out of my random collection. So that is 17 years ago. On the cover, we have Diet Obsessed Kids, Bible Blowout, Are Your Babies Safe? Must Know Creativity Secrets. You know, I started fanning through this, and I was really excited to see that the release of the Awesome Adventure Discipleship Series from Discipleland. Yes, I remember when that first came out. But you know what? I found an article in here that indeed was timeless, and it was from Craig Jutila under the Vital Volunteers. And it says, what are you reflecting? You know, he talks about a scene from Remember the Titans where a coach was confronting one of the players, and the line that came back was, attitude reflects leadership, Captain. And so he goes through five different descriptions of a leader's life, and he asks, which one of these describes you? And I think 17 years later, this is as relevant today, if not more relevant today. I'm not going to read you the whole article, but what I want you to do is I want you to listen to these. The first one is the hurried life. Boy, that's the life where you always feel behind. You're sacrificing time with family and friends to overcome feelings of guilt you experience when you're not working. He goes on to unpack that a little bit, and then he gives God's promise for the hurried life from Scripture. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted on the earth. The hurried life. Maybe that's you. You need to slow down. Maybe you need to stop. The next one is a heavy life. You feel as if you're carrying a burden and a lot of responsibility. The word no has wandered far from your vocabulary. Wow. Maybe it's time to let go. Maybe it's time to say no. Maybe it's time to set something down or find a break. Here's the promise from God for the heavy life that Craig offers. It's found in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let me challenge you, if that's you, to look at kidology.org/yoke, because I wrote an article last year called All About That Passage, about my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I would challenge you to check that out. Next, he says, maybe it's the heated life. This is the I am ready to snap lifestyle. For these people, little things tend to become big things, and overreaction gives way to irrationalism. Oh boy, you know if that's you. Like the littlest thing, and you just snap. All right, here's the passage he says you should reflect on. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And of course, you know that's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. This is a tough one. Number 4, the hollow life. No purpose, no goals, and no focus. Now, that seems like that would be an odd one or a rare one for those of us in ministry. But he says, you're treading water and barely staying afloat. You've resorted to just doing the job rather than serving the ministry. Be cautious. Your attitude will set volunteers adrift to just go through the motions rather than joyfully serving. You know, you don't go into ministry with a hollow life, but you can end up there. That's why he says, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. We know that verse. But if you find yourself getting to the point where it's a job, then you need to get help. You need to get away. You need to take a break. You might need just a change, but you certainly need to surround yourself with some folks and be praying that God could just pour into you a fresh love for the ministry. And it might mean a change of scenery or a fresh challenge. The last one is the one we want, right? A healthy life. A healthy lifestyle reflects the things of God, not the circumstances around you. Keeping your focus on Christ as you deal with the people and situations. And he goes on to reflect on Romans 14, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by man. That's what we want. Well, let me just end by saying thank you for watching. I appreciate your support. It is time now for me to give away my freebies. Are you ready? So I am going to pull up here in our backstage, and I've got our first winner, our newest member to Kidology. Ooh, at the annual level, which is the best deal. It's 10 bucks a month for access to everything that Kidology has to offer, which is online training, constant resources. Most of the things we produce, we give free to our all access members. Been doing this for 20 plus years. We have basically one product. It's our membership. We're not constantly adding all kinds of new things to do and to join and to buy. Join Kidology, support Kidology. That's exactly what Alex did. And I'm not going to use last names, but in Maryville, Tennessee, I am going to send you a free copy of the Kidology Handbook. That's a $60 value, $50 for you because you're a member. You're going to get that in the mail. And then let me click over here to our latest renewer, and that is Miranda in Sylvania, Alabama. I'm going to send you the Kids Church Cookbook. All right, $90 value. Even if you're a member, it's still a great value. 7 parts, training videos, everything you need for running an awesome Kids Church service. I'm going to be sending you a download link to that. It's going to be fantastic. And again, I want to thank you for your support. Thank you for being a part of Kidology, for supporting this ministry. Hey, if you find Kidman Talk, Kidology, the resources, so many of the things that we offer here through Kidology, and it's not just me, it's my whole team and all those who contribute to this website, then support our ministry with a nominal investment, because you're investing in yourself. It's a way to say thank you, but it's a way to say thank you that benefits you and helps make you better at what you do. So I only have one final thing to say to you, and that is that you are
You're a VIP.
You are a VIP. So thank you for your support. Thank you for your encouragement. Remember, you can always reach me at carl@kidmantalk.com. You can reach me on Twitter at Kidologist, at Kidman Talk, on Facebook through Messenger. I try to make it really easy to reach me. Hey, I look forward to interacting with you in the comments. And if there's any way I can equip and encourage you in your ministry, do let me know. And before the next show, I need you to try to stump me. So I need you to let me know what my object's going to be. A zarf. That was a good one. I had never done an object lesson on zarf before. So remember, to zarf or not to zarf, that is the question. All right, or just send a ministry question. And until then, thank you for watching. This is Carl Bastian from Kidology.org.